thank you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. True stars, radiantly beautiful in God's sight. That's you, by the way. True stars and radiantly beautiful. I'm thinking this morning, looking at you. Wonderful. I've got a little subtitle on the top of my sheet here that says walking and working together. But, you know, radiant stars, that's good too. I think we'd all agree that helping and supporting each other is a good thing. Yeah? Yeah. Lots of nods, that's good. Feeling love and partnership with others, perhaps especially Christian friends who share a similar outlook and belief to yourself. Well, it's brilliant, isn't it? It's really helpful, comforting and empowering. We were reminded, weren't we, by that little counting exercise that we did that went surprisingly well, that could mean that many things are possible for Spurgeons, many things, when we work together well. Things that when viewed alone as individuals can seem too daunting to even attempt. Impossible even. And I have to say, just because I'm on some of the committees doesn't mean I'm talking about the building project at that point, all right? Put that to one side for a minute. Think about the rest of our church life. Recently, at Home Group, we've been challenged to reconsider what positive action is possible in this dark and tough world of ours. We worked through some material called Hope in Despair. And I had to work quite hard to carry on bringing out the hope and not get too lost in the despair, because there are lots of stories of lots of really awful things happening in the world. We were reminding ourselves that there is hope in that despair. Each week we looked in some detail at a particular situation where people were suffering from injustice, poverty, the effects of climate change. And we wondered, it's such a big problem, what on earth can I do about it? And the idea has been to look at scripture, to take inspiration from projects and organisations that are already working on the problems, and then explore what small initiatives that we could each take that, once added together with other people's efforts, could also make a really big difference. We were also reminded by that material that we don't need to travel overseas to show acts of kindness and compassion to the poor. There are significant levels of poverty and injustice in so-called developed countries such as our own, aren't there? We don't have to look too far to see those. And we shouldn't fall into the trap of assuming that we have all the answers either. We shouldn't think of ourselves as always the teacher or the saviour even. We don't want to get into that mode. We have so much to learn ourselves about generosity and sharing, determination and courage from those who may be struggling materially. Just wanted to use a quote that came from that material. It's actually from a guy called Ron Sider in a book he wrote called Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger. Quite a challenging title. Millions of North Americans and Western Europeans are in despair as they seek in vain for happiness through ever greater material abundance. The idolatrous materialism of the economic rat race creates alcoholics, ruined marriages, and heart attacks. Jesus, on the other hand, offers true joy, not through getting, but through giving. We cannot gain happiness by seeking it directly. It comes as a byproduct as we give ourselves to others. We were away from Friday into yesterday with some friends, and we were talking about some of the telly programmes that are on now. And at the risk of beginning to sound like a, you know, grumpy old man, which Yvonne will tell you sometimes I can be, we were just bemoaning the numbers of so-called, you know, celebrity this, that, or the other programmes on television. And agreeing amongst ourselves, our friends similar age to us, that we didn't know who any of the celebrities were anyway. What was this all about, you know? And there just seems to be this celebrity culture, doesn't there? And that's what people strive for. And it's not a good thing. Anyway, back to me notes. So we're kind of already in agreement, aren't we, that working together to support and build each other up in love and learning is a good thing. I've got lots of nodding heads at the beginning, so that's good. And we accept that there are actions that we can take to help others in this country and across the world, particularly the home group people, but, you know, it's understood, isn't it, that through our own individual initiatives and by supporting some of these international charities and organisations who need our interest and our support and our financial giving, then, you know, we can make a difference. So, shall I stop there? Any need to make any more changes? Are we done? Is that it? We agree that we should work together, and there are ways that we can help the community and the world around. Well, I just wanted to say a little bit more than that this morning. Our reading from Hebrews that Elaine read to us. Hebrews is one of those books in the Bible where it's not really certain who wrote it. There's a group of suggested names, but that doesn't really matter. It's a book that's written to present the words that my study Bible says, the sufficiency and superiority of Christ. It's a book that's written to explain to some of the Jews that it was written to that, you know, Christ is everything you need, absolutely in charge, at the top of the tree, over and above everything else. And for them, it was written because they were struggling to live according to their existing kind of faith and understandings, and then see the new Christian way of being and what Christ was bringing in that new faith. And so the book was written to say, yeah, Christ is everything. That's what you need. And verse 25 that Elaine read to us said, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I'll come back to that in a moment. And then we heard Mike read from Daniel chapter 12. And I'm just going to read another version of it, this time from the Message paraphrase. And it sounds like this in the Message. It will be a time of trouble, the worst trouble the world has ever seen. But your people will be saved from the trouble, every last one found written in the book. Many who have long been dead and buried will wake up, some to eternal life, others to eternal shame. Men and women who have lived wisely and well will shine brilliantly, like the cloudless, star-strewn night skies. And those who put others on the right path to life will glow like stars forever. So maybe, Rob, we'll just go to the other slide. A radiant star is born. As I said, this is you. You're the radiant stars. So yeah, our readings have a little bit of a sting in the tail. The readings are from the lectionary. That's how I've arrived on this subject for today. And even in Psalm 16 at the beginning of the service, there were references to the realm of dead and decay. There's that slightly ominous mention of the day in the Hebrews reading, and then Daniel's clear description of judgment for some. We need to consider what scriptures about the end times mean for us. There was another reading that the lectionary set, and if you're the sort that likes to take homework away, then Mark 13 and the first 8 verses, that was the other reading that we're not really using this morning, but that too talks of the signs of end times. Now, you will know, because you know me well, we are friends, I am not a theological expert that is trained through and through. And I don't plan on unpacking too much of the full implication of the end times verses this morning. I'm going to leave that for Mung, I'm sure. In the fullness of time, we will hear about that from Mung. But I do feel that it's important to highlight a simple truth in relation to what I've been saying. While it may make us feel rather uncomfortable, there's no escaping the fact that the Bible does speak of a final judgment day, and however we understand that to work out for ourselves, it should, I believe, give us a sense of urgency and responsibility when it comes to loving our neighbour as ourselves and sharing the good news of the gospel with as many people as possible. As it's been said from this pulpit by other people in the past, we need to live out our lives as though the things we say we believe are actually true and make a difference to every part of our lives, including our money and our time, which can be hard to share sacrificially. And it should also impact the things that motivate us and help set the priorities for our life. I was reading something in the week, and it was a little section on, I think it was on the Baptist Union website, I think. Not that I spend a lot of time looking at that, but I stumbled over Steve Finnemore, who's the BU president, saying that he had recently been, I think, to the Central Association, actually, which is our association, our regional association. And he'd been asked to talk on the book of Revelation. Well, that's the famous book that talks about end times. And he said that he feels sometimes he's set up when he's invited to go and talk places, because they give him really, really difficult things to talk about, and often he upsets people. And he says when he goes and preaches about Revelation, he normally upsets everybody. But on this thing, it broke down a few of the sort of headlines that he was sharing with that group of people. The last one just, I thought, was worth repeating this morning. So John, who wrote Revelation, John tells us that it's all about to kick off. In other words, the issues were urgent in his own day. And his warning comes down the years and speaks to the church in every age, including our own. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be faithful. Today is the day to put aside the things that belong to the darkness and to live in the light. Back to stars again. Just going back then to close with our reading from Daniel. When I was doing my prep, Keith said last week, didn't he, that particularly those of us who are not trained ministers have to scurry away and do our prep when we're going to talk to you guys. I looked at the notes in my study Bible about what that had to say about those three verses from Daniel. And just one of the things, again, stuck out to me. It said, actually, and I was quite surprised, because I don't know how many of you ever look at a study Bible, that sort of thing. But generally, they're quite, I don't know, they tend to be slightly on the academic side. That the things they tell you are great, really valuable, but can sometimes feel a bit like you're back at school. But this paragraph was written about those three verses from Daniel. And it chimes in with the conversations I was having at the weekend with my friends. Many people try to be stars in the world of entertainment, only to find their stardom is temporary. God tells us how we can be eternal stars by being wise and leading many to God's righteousness. If we share our Lord with others, we can be true stars, radiantly beautiful in God's sight. Can we have that picture once more, Rob? A radiant star is born. Maybe as we go into the week, you can hang on to that vision. You may not feel like a radiant star, but you are. If you hold Christ in your heart and let his light shine out through you this coming week, then think of yourself as a radiant star. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Brilliant. Thank you.